Hey, everybody, it's Kai. Thanks for listening to the Corner Office Podcast. A bonus episode for you today. John Janik, the CEO of Interscope Geffen A&M Records. He took over when the company's founder and former CEO, Jimmy Iovine, you might have heard of him, left for another company he co-founded, Beats by Dre, with Dr. Dre. You might have heard of him. He left after that company was acquired by Apple. And the reason we're talking to John today is because Interscope Geffen A&M has a horse in the Oscar race. They put out the soundtrack to La La Land. It was nominated for a bunch of stuff, of course, Best Picture and the music as well. So here we go, my conversation with John Janik.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
You've been in music a long time, man. Like back to college days.
Yes.
Tell me about Fueled by Ramen, that first label.
Oh, I started my first label in high school.
Wow.
When I was 17, because I just loved music and I wanted to turn people on to music. So I started a label. And I put out one release, and then going into college, I met somebody who was in a band that I was a fan of and decided to start Fueled by Ramen. So I did that for 16 years prior to coming to Interscope.
How do you listen to music today? Do you do it in the car? Do you do it in the office? I imagine you're drowning in music.
Yeah, I listen to it. I listen to a kind of just whenever I can find free time. I constantly, whether I'm in my car, working out.
But do you have to stop and take notes? Is it work
no.
for you, or what do you do?
No, it's more of a. I mean, I love it. I mean, to think, you know, sometimes you think about that. If you feel like it's work, then I don't think I'd probably be very good at it. So I just listen to all different types of music. Sometimes I listen to things that aren't our own, and you know, just do it because I love it.
Yeah. How'd you get the gig at Interscope a couple of years? What is it? 4 years ago now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I had met Jimmy Iovine, who started Interscope. I met him a few years prior. And then it was interesting at the time, you know, I was coming in to meet him just to talk about music, and he had shown me the Beats headphones.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what he was doing. I was like,
you know, a lot of people had the same outlook, man. They're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So he showed me the Beats headphones. I was like, you know, this guy runs, you know, one of the most important music companies in the world. And I didn't understand what he was doing. And I just kept in touch with him a little bit. Then one day I met with Lucian Grange, who's the chairman of the company. And, you know, we had a good meeting and he suggested that I see Jimmy. Jimmy called me up. The first thing Jimmy said to me was, you know, I need somebody to run the company. You know, you're going to have the keys to the car. It's going to be your company. I'm going to be here and I'll help you through everything. Yeah. And I was taken aback. I said to him at the time, honestly, you know, with all due respect, you know, people say things like that all the time, you know, but then I spent the next, you know, 9 months with him, and I'd known a lot of people in the business, and he was a guy who, you know, he had started, like I said, met him a few years prior, had Beats headphones. Obviously, now it was a $1 billion company, and he was telling me at the time about the streaming component of it and how between the creating the music, delivering the music, and listening to the music, how all those pieces were going to come together. And, you know, not many people knew about this, that he wanted to launch a streaming company at the time, and I thought it was brilliant.
What do you make of where music is today? With trying to figure out the streaming thing, artists who, you know, Chance the Rapper, right, wins a Grammy the other day without ever selling a physical record or signing or anything.
Right.
It's a tricky spot for you on that.
You know, when I started my label, Fueled by Ramen, you know, it was at a time where the barriers of entry were coming down. You know, you didn't need to have to put, you know, CDs in stores. You didn't have to have radio play your records. You didn't have to get on MTV, which was important at the time, which all those things were great and were important, you know, once you kind of built your fan base. But we were able to take advantage of what was happening early on, mp3.com, and then into, you know, Friendster and MySpace, and then into YouTube. So
it's funny because you're not that old, but
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing, you know, like I said, I started in 96. So I've been doing it for, I guess, 21 years.
Yeah.
But I just started at a very young age. But the barriers of entry are coming down. And I think now in the world of Spotify and Apple Music and, you know, the world is feeling much more flatter and people being able to listen to music and hear about music, you know, very quickly, it's an interesting time. I still think that it's important to have the right team of people around you that can help you amplify your music, though.
Talk to me for a second about that, because when you do research on you, when I did research on you, something that comes up in every single piece, every single interview, is the way you approach managing the talent and dealing with musicians. Talk about that for a little bit.
you know, when I started my label, you had to build a very close relationship with the artist. I mean, we were in it every day. I was signing acts that, you know, maybe had something going on in their hometown, but you had to find ways to basically break through walls or go around walls to get people to listen to them. And, you know, I spent the first half of my career trying to get people to believe in what I was doing. So it was like that for me, and it was like that for the artist. So you build this bond as you're working together. And I took that into, as the label grew and, you know, what I was building myself and then going on to building Elektra, I still lived by that. And going into Interscope, I feel the same way. We have some of the biggest artists in the world. But I think that you always have to protect the brand. You have to be very close to the artists and their manager. You have to think about every aspect of their career.
But, you know, dealing with Lady Gaga versus Eminem are two different equations,
yeah,
right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, but it's still the same. You know, it's interesting because what I always tried to do on a small scale is find artists that were a little bit left of center, artists that move culture, you know, that maybe people didn't really get right away. And it was about, you know, moving people towards them instead of just doing things that were straight down the middle. That's what Eminem, that's what Lady Gaga are. They're artists who have a vision. They no one's telling them what to do. They make their music, and you know they need the right team of people around them to help support them. So yes, it's different styles of music, and they're different types of artists. But you know, it's the same mentality. You just support you support an artist's vision.
What's the nut you have to crack now? What's your big challenge coming through?
I think the world and the music side is changing every day. Obviously, streaming's taking hold. You know, but it's still in its infancy stages, I think, you know.
Really? Because it seems like it's been around for such a long time.
Right? Yeah, I mean, us living in L.A. and probably in other major cities, you know, I mean, I've been with my wife since I was 20 years old. I've tried to explain streaming to her. And, you know, probably just a year ago, you know, we're sitting in a car. My you know, he's four at the time. Says, you know, Daddy, I want to hear this song. And, you know, I just some random song and I just pull it up and play it. My wife is sitting in the car and says, oh, you can just do that? You just open something and you click a button and you can do that? And I was like, yeah, I've been telling you this for 3 years, you know? But I think that's really the world.
And she's married to the guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What artist do you wish you had signed but have not yet been able to?
You mean as far as someone who's currently signed?
Yeah. Somebody who's out there that you just love to work with and do stuff with.
I mean, there's a lot of really great art. I mean, fortunately, we have a lot of really good artists at Interscope. And, you know, it was exciting for me to move where I was at to Interscope to be able to work with these artists. I mean, it's been a dream. But there's, you know, there's a lot of really talented artists out there. You know, whether, you know, or there was a long period of time where, you know, I was a big fan of Mumford & Sons. You know, I think Chance the rapper is an amazing artist. You know, Kanye. There's so many people, all these artists that have such strong visions. It's exciting to us. That's what I'm attracted to.
Talk to me for a second about the decision to release the La La Land soundtrack and how you came to that.
It's an interesting story. I signed Selena Gomez, I guess, a couple years ago. And I had been kind of chasing after her for a year, just getting to know her because, you know, she had a lot of success.
Yeah.
So, you know, I built a relationship with her, fantastic person. And part of getting to work with her is saying, I understand, you know, you have a lot of things going on. Music is a big part of what you do, but she's also an actress. And, you know, really being supportive of her, of, you know, again, the brand of what she does and, you know, where she wants to go and not me just being concerned about her doing music. So I met through her music agent. Her music agent suggested I meet her acting agent. And I met her acting agent, and she was telling me about this director she was working with, Damien. And I guess this was probably a little over 2 years ago. And Whiplash, I think, had just been put out in the U.S.
His prior film.
Yeah, so she told me about it, and I went and I watched the film at home, and I was blown away. It was one of those films where, you know, I see a lot of, see a lot of different things in entertainment. And it was one of those movies that just made you think for days after watching it. And I was like, I got to meet this guy. So she fortunately hooked it up. And, you know, I was just like, I told him how much I loved the film and asked him what he was doing next. And he said he was doing this musical. And, you know, we just were like, we got to do it. You know, we put our whole team on it, talking about marketing, you know, what we can help on the music side, anything we could do. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he has such a vision. And, you know, it's for us. It's just, okay, how do we just work with him? And, you know, fortunately, we got the soundtrack.
It stands to reason, because this is true in all enterprises. But hearing you tell me that story makes it even more clear that, especially in this business, it's who you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You bump into things, which again is interesting because when I was a guy in Florida, starting a record label, I knew nobody. I had no mentors, no nothing, and it was just me kind of just trying to, you know, figure it out. Now, you know, you have this access and, you know, you bump into things happen sometimes. I didn't believe in luck before. Now I know it's a lot of hard work, and then there's also positioning yourself.
But the other thing is you are one of the people now who people want to bump into.
Right.
If that makes sense. Well, come on, man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
you're rolling your eyes. Do you ever look around and go, huh, here I am?
Yeah, totally. You know, it's an interesting thing to think about. I never really look at it that way, but I'm always like whenever I'm walking into an event, be like, okay, well, am I going to know somebody? And then fortunately, there's a lot of people there that we work with every day.
In 5 years, what is Interscope, given the pace of change in music and audio?
I think really the sky's the limit. I mean, you think about it. I was an entrepreneur, a kid in some small town in Florida that, you know, built up a record label, and now I'm running a big company like Interscope, Geffen, A&M. And you know what Jimmy did with the company, you know, early on, and how supportive of Lucian is of change and doing things different. I think, you know, the way that streaming's taking over, there's going to be so many more opportunities to people just to discover new acts. So I think that's exciting. But also I think, you know, what we can just do in entertainment now. I mean, I think that between visual content and, you know, especially when we're working with artists like a Selena or a Lady Gaga, who, you know, was in American Horror Story and she's going to go do A Star Is Born. And, you know, working with these artists that wanted, and Lana Del Rey, who creates these mini movies for her videos, like finding new ways to connect with audiences, I think is going to be really interesting.
I imagine you were at the Grammys the other day.
Yes.
Were you surprised, just given, you know, what you were saying about entertainment and how it comes, you know, visually now and in all sorts of other forms, were you surprised at the whole Beyoncé Adele thing?
As far as
Beyoncé not winning for a really high concept album.
Yeah.
And Adele winning for, you know, some really lovely ballads. But
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, seeing, they're both just such amazing artists. I mean, sitting there watching Adele sing these beautiful songs and then sitting there for the long piece that
Beyoncé
created. I mean, just watching it, but then looking up at the TV screen of actually how it came across. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's a tough spot to be put in when you have two acts to put out an album like that. I mean, there's other great albums that came out this year too, you know? I mean, Kanye and Sturgill Simpson. Like there's a lot of really good music last year. And I think this year is going to be great too.
What's the best part of this job?
Just doing what you love, you know? I mean, again, being a kid who started a record label because there was not many record stores in his hometown, and I always liked the things
that...
Well, I grew up listening to more kind of underground music. I listened to punk rock music, and I listened to hip-hop music. So I was kind of listening to all the stuff that normally wouldn't be sold in the store, so I had to find the independent store or order records through mail order at the time. So to think that that's why I got into this business, because I loved music so much and I wanted to work with artists and I wanted to be more the behind the scenes guy. Like I wasn't going to be in a band or anything. And to think that I'm doing that today and to get to work with all different types of artists. I mean, that's what's exciting is working with these creative people and us being able to sit and brainstorm with artists. You know, everybody wants to be creative and be a part of that process. But when you're working with some of the most talented people in the world who have these great ideas and, you know, you can help contribute to making those things happen is a great thing.
John, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That was John Janik, the CEO of Interscope Geffen A&M Records. If you like this podcast, leave us a review on iTunes. Maybe let us know who you would like to hear from next. We'll call them up and see if they want to chat. This podcast, I should tell you, it was produced by Bridget Bodner. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. We'll see you next time.